Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. We don't have a quorum right yet, but the first member in the agenda is State Aid Engineer Rick Jonas. I believe Rick, didn't see him. Welcome to the committee, Rick, and Mr. Jonas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the mic on?
Actually, what we're having for committee members, we're having oversight of the State Aid Engineer, the Minnesota Association of Townships, and the Association of Minnesota Counties, and the League of Cities. So we're really not going to review basically that much of the governor's budget proposal, but we're going to get an oversight from these groups. Mr. Jonas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm looking forward to an exciting session, and would be glad to be here anytime that there's anything that the Office Division of State Aid can offer you as, by way of testimony. For today, I just did prepare a little overview of what our division does in our outreach with counties, cities, and townships to give you perhaps a deeper understanding of the relationship the Department of Transportation has with local government through our division.
Mr. Jonas, if I may interrupt, we have a quorum. And is someone moved the minutes of last session there in your policy? Minutes have been moved. Any questions or comments? Not the minutes are approved as read. Mr. Jonas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the microphone working? Am I being heard?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll proceed then just to talk a little bit about our division. The State Aid Division supervises the division, the distribution of county and municipal state aid highway funds and federal funds to counties and cities. Our programs also include lesser funding amounts for townships, and we oversee special programs like the Local Road Improvement Program and the Bridge Replacement Program. The Local Road Improvement Program includes the Roads of Regional Significance account available to all units of local government, and the Rural Road Safety account, which last year was limited simply to the non-metro area counties. The state aid money is apportioned to counties and cities in January of every year. This year, it'll be our intention to send out checks and deposit money in construction accounts a week from today, actually. This year there are, 87 counties is how many counties there are, and this year there are 142 cities that will be sharing in the $475 million apportionment that we will be giving out. This is essentially the same apportionment that we gave out in 2002 when there were 12 fewer cities and 900 fewer miles on the collective state aid systems. Therefore, it is no surprise that the state aid systems are aging at a faster rate than they are being rebuilt, and the rate of deterioration is increasing. In addition, the state aid systems are facing issues of increasing traffic and increasing truck volumes and weight. Our division is proud of county and city engineers in the way they are responding to these challenges, and we try to be a resource to them. I'd like to take this opportunity to talk to you about a newly increased relationship we have with the counties. Some of you may recall that the counties asked for an additional 0.5% of their allocation to be added to the CASA administrative account in 2005, which the legislature granted. Using this money, we've been doing special statewide projects for the counties to help them better manage their system. Doing contracts on a statewide basis are more efficient than by doing them by individual counties. One example of the work we have done is measuring pavement ride and strength, sending equipment out, driving on the roads, videotaping the right-of-ways to provide better information to base investment and operational decisions on. This information is valuable to individual counties, and that's where our priority has been based in those programs thus far. Eventually, we will be able to report this information back to the legislature and to others on a statewide basis to allow for better monitoring of the system statewide. Using this money, we also led a contract to inspect bridges for safe capacity due to the larger trucks allowed in the recent timber haulers bill. This project has cost nearly $1.5 million, And at the time that bill was passed, we understood that permit fees would help pay for the cost. To date, however, the permit fees have fallen far short of that prediction. A final example of money that we've used from this account is the investment in uniform construction inspection software for all the counties. This will help ensure adequate inspection of construction projects and the documentation of that inspection to satisfy state and federal auditors. It then will speed up the process of reviewing the work done and the receipt of local and state approval of the payments due to the contractors. So the money should be able to be gotten back to the contractors sooner after the work is done. Everything would be electronic. Producing statewide databases of prices will give information that can improve construction designs and management in the future. Really looking forward to where this is going to lead us. I mention these activities because although we've always had this relationship with counties and cities and helped them do these types of special work, such as underwater bridge inspection, the recent increase in the administration account has increased what we can do, and we are looking forward to better management and reporting in the future. Another interesting project that we've been working on is the Township Sign Replacement Program. A federal grant of $2.4 million has been awarded to this project and allowed us to work with the Association of Townships to begin piloting the program. Townships from six counties have been selected to pilot this program. The need for professional review of the current signing as well as updating the signing is great. The diversity that exists in these six different counties has made this project a challenge. Some counties rely a lot on counties for help, while others work much more independently. Some use round posts for their signs, some use square. When we're working with federal funds, it lends itself better to standardization, and therefore the development of this program under one contract has been very interesting, the meetings. It is my understanding that the Association of Townships will be asking for some state money to help deliver this program to more areas of the state and to provide more flexibility in making this project work throughout the state. Finally, I'd like to provide an update on the 2006 bonding dollars we received by the last legislative session. $55 million was provided to bridge replacements and $16 million provided to the local road improvement program. The bridge money has all been assigned to fund 155 specific bridge projects. $8 million has been aside for cost share needs for 2007-2008 federal projects, so the money is basically assigned for those future federal projects that are on the books. Other than that, the money is gone. Not all the work is done as far as the bridges being built, but we have assigned the money to the counties or townships or cities that are working on delivering actual bridge projects. There are now another 10 bridges on our waiting list. The plans are signed, approved, and sitting in our office waiting for the next round of bridge bonding, whenever that would be, this year or next. And the list is growing by the week. We know that local government could deliver these projects and more. However, this is not a bonding year, and our department is not asking for anything in this program. However, I do understand that counties and cities and townships are. The local road improvement program received $16 million in two programs. The roads of regional significance got half, and the rural road safety program got half. The roads of regional significance account was established to provide grants or loans to cities or counties and townships to assist in paying the cost of improving local roads with statewide or regional significance. 87 projects applied for the $8 million last year, and 22 projects were funded. In the Rural Road Safety Program, there were 56 projects that applied for funding, and 39 received money. All of these projects were required to be constructed in 2006 or 2007. Those projects were selected, by the way, in consultation with representatives of the Association of Minnesota Counties, the League of Minnesota Cities, and the Minnesota Township Association, which worked with us to establish the project selection procedures. So with that, I'd like to close and on behalf of my boss, Julie Skalman, thank you for the time today to talk about our division and pledge that we would be available for any questions or any information that you need later today or throughout the session.
Thank you, Mr. Jonas. We have some questions. I'd just like to start out, Representative Beard, if I may. You said you're state aid is, or I mean, your county state aid highway system is $475 million, which is basically less or the same as last year without inflation. That doesn't end. That's also your municipal state aid system. I think the thing I'd like to have you impress, if you have other testifiers or yourself, what the impact of the budget, what shape you're really in as far as the county system goes. And I think for the members, if you don't, Mr. Jonas didn't really, didn't catch it, but there are three sources of funds for the county. County state aid highways funds, which he spoke about, and federal highways and straight county road, which is funded by property tax. And after he finishes, in your packet, we have a sheet from Pat Dalton computed and showed what each county spends, not on property tax, but the total amount of money that they spend for roads. So after he gets, if you look at it, we didn't want to have it now because you'd all be looking at it. I think we should question Mr. Jonas on behalf of the counties just what the situation is as far as funding. Are you happy with it? Is it going to be okay? It sounds like you're short. If you aren't short, then you better give some to MnDOT. That's about it. But basically, I think we should, that's a big intent to establish what your budget situation is going to be. That's what the townships or whoever else is going to testify. Representative Beard, do you have a question?
I have actually two quick ones, and they're rather mundane and technical in nature, Mr. Chair. Is it Conus?
Silent K. Jonas.
Jonas. You talked about the timber haulers up north. I was here a couple of years ago when I was on this committee. We struggled with upping the weight limits and the permit fees, and I remember the bridge inspection program to make sure they weren't going to be crushing them. We knew they were, but hopefully the fees would catch up. You mentioned that the fees were falling short of costs, or they weren't where they're supposed to be. Is that from lack of timber haulers applying for the extra heavy permits, or aren't we pricing the permits high enough? Which is it?
Mr. Jonas?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I believe the annual fee that the timber haulers buy, set by the statute, at $300.
Oh, my.
There was concern about, with the new configuration, whether county bridges would be able to handle that configuration because they weren't designed for that configuration. So we did need to go out and rate a select number of bridges. I think it was nearly 900 bridges that had to be inspected fairly quickly because these trucks were going to be out there. Mm-hmm. The money that we expended from this county state aid administration account was approached $1.5 million to get this work done.
Mm-hmm.
To date, we've collected $135 as our share of the permit cost.
I understand the shortfall. Thank you. The second one is a different topic, Mr. Chair, if I may. You talked about ride quality, pavement quality, and how we're measuring that now. Is it subjective? I know the difference between my wife's Oldsmobile and my Chevy truck is quite a difference in ride on the same piece of road. What are the standards we use, if you can give us the 10-cent version of that? Curious as to how we've developed those and how we measure them.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Jonas,
Representative, the ride measuring that we're having done on all of the county state aid highway mileage on a four-year basis. So we started the program 2 years ago. We've done 50% of the system now. We have the results on the first 25%, and we'll have the other 25% soon. It's a four-year program. It's based somewhat on some subjective criteria of what an average person would say is smooth and rougher and really rough in an average situation. But then it's calibrated to some instrumentation, and we actually do have an instrument run around and actually measure numerically the ride, and then we classify it based on the rough, smooth, and very rough.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to know that there was instrumentation that was actually doing objective measurements. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions or not? Mr. Jonas, I think I just was introduced to the president of the County Engineers Association. Maybe we should bring him up here. I'd like to know the status of the counties, if you haven't told us exactly what their situation is as far as budgets. I think he was in the audience unless he left.
He was here. Mr. Tyson,
Marshall
County.
Is he in? Is he not? No, he's apparently gone. Oh, no. Is that, are you Mr. Thyssen?
No.
No. Oh, another, I just, as long as we give you, we've given you a little more time, and maybe you're subject to some control, and he isn't. Would you identify yourself and welcome to the committee?
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Greg Isaacson. I'm the county engineer from Goodhue County, and I was the president of the association back in 2004.
Goodhue is Blue Earth? City of Blue Earth?
No, City of Red Wing.
Okay.
Yep. But probably the best way to answer that question of where the county sit is we put together what we call the 50-year life cycle cost analysis back in 2003. And what we did in that analysis was to determine how much money we should be putting into road construction above and beyond what we are putting in road construction if we want to rebuild our roads when they hit the age of 50. And we asked all the counties to put it together, and back in 2003, we determined that we were $195 million a year short of what we should be putting into our road construction that we're not putting into our road construction. And for those that have been following our industry, last year the price of bituminous went up throughout the counties to the rate of 30% to 40%. So that number of 200 or 195 million a year is probably quite a bit low compared to what it is today, considering the cost of construction has gone up quite a bit.
Mr. Isaacson, I'd like to ask you one more question. There's a probability in the past session or two there's been a 10-ton road bill, and that will be coming up again this year. And basically what you're telling was on a 9-ton design, that's not even considering that you'd upgrade your design. In fact, I had a call today and somebody wants a 12-ton road now when we're talking 10-ton roads. Right. So that's my concern, is the numbers you're considering basically are the system as it is now without the legislature saying we're going to have 10-ton roads or something?
Well, Chairman, the analysis that we used, we asked people how much money we're actually putting into construction. And to a certain point, we are slowly achieving a 9-ton system, because every time we regrade our system, we're meeting it to current standards. Current standards, for the most part, require us to go to a 9-ton system. If the projected ADT on the road is over 1,500 cars a day, we are actually building a 2- to 10-ton system. So we are very, very slowly creeping up on that 10-ton system. If we were going to go out and say all county roads are going to be at a 10-ton starting just this year, I think that would have quite a detrimental effect on the rest of the road system, that a lot of those roads are not even at a 9-ton design yet.
That's right. Thank you. Are there some questions? Jeremy or Representative Kalin?
the haircut drops me down. Is that the deal? Mr. Isaacson, in Chisago County, we're blessed to be in Chairman Oberstar's congressional district, and so we get a decent amount of help from the feds, as they say. But we had one specific project, actually, an interchange with Interstate 35, where the county, the federal dollars, I think, were about $6 million, and absent any help from MnDOT, the county actually brought $5 million to the table, and the state ended up bringing $56,000 or something like that for a park and ride surface parking lot. That really shocked me, and I'm wondering if we're seeing more and more of those major projects being picked up by municipalities and by counties. So if that's the $195 million certainly is part of the Cascade situation, but can you address the larger project as well?
I imagine, Mr. Isaacson, both of you will probably, maybe that isn't a fair question for you. Is that more fair for Jones? Either one wants to answer that.
Well, Chairman, if you don't mind, I'll take a crack at it, and Rick could follow up and correct me where I need to be. Chairman, we are seeing more and more of those kind of issues where, plain and simple, MnDOT doesn't have the money to come forward and finish up the project. In fact, in the year 2008 is the first time that anybody on my staff, and I've got two staff members that have been there for 36 years, it's the first time anybody remembers we're not going to be regrading any county roads in Goodhue County. And the reason is because we don't have enough money and we need to borrow some money to MnDOT. There's a project, we got some federal money, on a project on Trunk Highway 61. Congressman Klein wants it, something done on it, and the state doesn't have enough money to do this project to the year 2012. So we've got to come forward with the money for it, and it's basically draining out our system. We are also working with MnDOT on improvements on Trunk Highway 52 in Goodyear County at the intersection of the 24 and Cannon Falls. And I'm already talking to my county board that we're going to have to come up with some substantial amount of money, millions, in order to help that project actually get off the ground. My neighbor to the south, Olmsted County, I know they started a process here within the last couple years. I think they had got legislative approval for a half-cent sales tax that they used strictly for paying back bonds for transportation projects. They were required to come up with to the tune of $5 to $7 million per interchange when Rock 52 through Rochester was rebuilt here a couple of years ago. So we are getting more and more requirements that we're step forward to help out.
Mr. Jonas?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'd like to just broaden that answer out just a little bit. Everything Greg said is correct. But I would like to say that MnDOT recognizes and we're blessed by these valuable county and city engineers that we have out there. And as money's getting tighter and the ability of each unit of government to do projects is becoming less, partnership projects and collaborative projects are something that we're encouraging so that they're efficient. So two or three counties get together and put together a decent-sized project to attract a good contractor and a good bid on a price is something that we're promoting. And so the history of how the partnership is created, you described one here now where the county got some unexpected money and moved the thing forwards. One of the glitches in having these types of relationships is very good communication, and counties and MnDOT cities kind of operate on a five-year plan, and they meet periodically to confer on those things. And if everything is working perfectly and everybody's knowing what everybody else is doing, the proper cost ratios for the project and the percentages and the plans can move forward perfectly. But if one unit of government defers projects, then the other project needs to make adjustments accordingly, or if one accelerates, there's a need for adjustments. And now you're describing an extreme case there on the case of that interchange project on I-35, where MnDOT didn't have a chance to put its money into the program. The only choice would be to take some other money out of their program and delay another project. But I think with continued communication and determination, we're going to make some improvements in those areas. We have to, because MnDOT does need locals to help with delivering some of the projects, and we all need to bring together more sources of funds to a project to make it work for the best benefit of the public. So we got to keep working until we get it right.
We'll take two more questions because we did use up your time. Representative Horkman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I thought I heard Mr. Isaacson. I thought I heard you say something about a 0.5% sales tax somewhere in the state of Minnesota that somebody was using to pay back some bonding on a transportation project.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Olmsted County and the City of Rochester, I believe, had special authorization to have an extra 0.5% sales tax within Olmsted County. And they are using that to pay back bonds that they had to issue to pay for their portion of interchange projects on 52 in Rochester and right outside of Rochester.
Thank you.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. I think you borrowed some money, or you did some of the construction work yourself that needed to be done. The townships, is that who I'm hearing that fronted the money?
For
certain things that you were not getting other monies from? I must have misunderstood. I thought you said that you weren't getting enough money in the usual sense, so you decided that in order to get these projects completed, you magically, property tax, the township folks, or wherever, you get the money. Am I incorrect?
Mr. Isaac, can you... Are you probably talking about advance encumbering from some state county funds to the state? Is that what it was?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I mentioned a specific project that we have working with MnDOT where we were able to get some federal monies, and MnDOT is not able to come up with their portion of the project to the year 2012. So Goodyear County is going to front $500,000 so that the project can happen in 2008 and then be repaid back in 2012.
Mr. Chairman, the state of MnDOT is going to pay you back in future years, and you're fronting the money for them.
Correct, and in fronting them the money and saving some money for a big right-of-way purchase we're going to need for the next year, it doesn't leave us any money to rebuild any of our roads for the year 2008.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and either one of you or both of you, in your case, you could talk to your legislators down there about getting some money forward from the state. I don't know who represents Kenyon or Goodyear County, but or Olmsted, but those folks have some responsibility through their state. Has that ever occurred to anybody down there?
We've had a discussion.
I presume you answered that. He's establishing a point, is that what they say? Do you have a further question? I think too, Mr. Isaacson, when you advance that money to the state, you don't get reimbursed with interest. That's just the same amount that you gave them, wasn't it? I don't think they pay interest.
They
do it. I don't, do they?
Well,
Reps in Holbrook?
Mr. Chair, we just changed the language to allow for MnDOT to pay back with interest. We had the first time that we passed that language, it was tied to some index number, and I can't recall which one of them, and that was not sufficient to cover the cost of the local units of government. But I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three, we changed the legislation to allow for the commissioner of MnDOT to enter into agreements with local units of government to advance fund projects and pay it back with interest at a rate approved by the commissioner.
Hey, thank you. I didn't remember. I knew it used to not get, or they didn't pay interest, so that's a change.
Well, and Mr. Chair, if I might, I think, you know, part of maybe what is the situation when the federal money comes in, and if the project wasn't programmed in a particular year, I hear in this case the state's going to give Goodyear County the money in 2012. It could well be the case that that's when the project was programmed. In order for MnDOT to give money now, they would have to defer a project that was scheduled to be done now. And so, you know, I know that people are frustrated, and certainly there's no doubt that we need more money, but we have a choice of either having MnDOT having a contingency fund, not having that money dedicated to any particular project in the plan, hanging around for if we might need it, or what they're doing now and what we have told them to do is convert as much of the money as soon as possible to asphalt or cement. And so when these situations come with the earmarked federal funds, they've already programmed all the dollars in to projects like we've asked them to, and they don't just have money sitting around for if the case of the earmarked money that Congressman Klein, I think in this case, tried to get. So, I mean, I think sometimes we're critical of MnDOT. We ask them to do something one way, and then when another situation presents, then we like to say, well, see, you didn't have any money sitting around. Well, we told them we didn't want them to have money sitting around, that we wanted them to convert it into projects.
I think you're correct, but I think that's pretty minuscule according to the amount of money they need now, and that's my point I'm trying to get here. I'm not blaming them, because when they pay money, we should spend it. I mean, not spend it, but I mean that's what it's there for. But definitely, the point I would like to impress upon the committee and members is that there is more money short than that slight reserve we had that doesn't even touch it. That's my concern. And I recognize, and I'm not, I didn't talk to the gentleman at all. I appreciate you came up here because we put you on the spot. But we learned something again today, and I think it generally brings about the point that we've got some problems. Mm-hmm. Representative Esther Phelan.
I just actually wrote down exactly what Mr. Isaacson said to Representative Earhart's point that made my ears perk up. You borrowed money to MnDOT rather than borrowing money from MnDOT.
That's correct. And I think that originally one of the big projects that we had when they built the mall, and I think Representative Hobart knows that, Bloomington advanced money to MnDOT because at that time that was a lot of money, and that was basically what you're doing. And I think we're seeing that happen more on some of the projects rather than MnDOT just leaving them lay that the locals can participate and be repaid. That, and it works out well that way because you save money in the long run, I think. Unless there are further questions, we appreciate, thank you, Mr. Isaacson, for coming in. And you too, Mr. Jonas.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we did, I think these were, they're passing out these sheets that I spoke about to show not the property tax, but it's the amount of money that the counties, cities, and townships spent out of their own funds, basically, in the last year, the last couple of years. So here we go. We have an overview from the townships, Mr. Fricke and Mr. Solem. And Mr. Vanosik, I believe, too, but does he come up later?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think just a second, if I could. I'm Dave Fricke, the Executive Director for the Minnesota Association of Townships. With me, I've got Kent Solem, who's one of our legal counsels on staff, and Rob Vanosik is here in the audience. He'll be around if you have questions. And also have one of my board members that's here and spends quite a bit of time here trying to assist, township official, also a fireman. And so Jim Fisher, he's also here, and you get to meet us and see us, and hopefully this issue, and I don't want to echo some of the things that Jonas has already told you, but I think it is important to note that the townships, of which there are 1,788 of them in the state, we have a big state. You all know that. And what you may not know is that we have nearly 60,000 miles of road that are not county, city, or state highways. And it's over 40% of the network that we have in the state to serve our farms, the recreation community, and other parts of the state to get access to. We also on that system have about 6,000 bridges, of which was mentioned already. We have about 840 right now that are on the deficiency list. And so there's a considerable backlog. We've come a long way. The way they used to measure the bridge deficiencies at one point, we had about 2,500. And because of what the legislature did about 15 years ago, to put some money into the township bridges and also to take some money specifically for bridges out of our appropriation for the gas tax, those dollars were funneled back in, and we were able to bring down the number of deficient bridges. In the last few years, MnDOT itself made an extra effort to try to put the funds out, and of course, as was mentioned, we're already out of money with one of the biggest appropriations the state ever made last year for our bridge activities. The couple of things I just mentioned, you talked a little bit about the fuel tax. They'll say that our organization over the years has always supported an increase in the fuel tax, and our current position is at least, you know, a minimum of 7 cents a gallon would be not inappropriate to look at. And so we're supportive of an increase, regardless of what it is. The chairman of this committee a number of years ago, I know there's talk, radio and whatever, about finding a new way of funding roads. And I know we've talked years back about how we would do pricing to be able to get funding in the future for transportation. The authority to regulate is important to us. We have Minnesota townships are responsible for maintaining and keeping safe for public travel. Those 59,000 miles of road, an important part of our responsibility is public safety. That component and all activities within the established road right-of-way, including installation of utilities and other commercial and public infrastructure, to ensure our uniform safety and regulatory consistency, the authority should be not compromised in any way. And we have current difficulties going on, even at the federal level, dealing with some of our communication activities. So you want to be aware of some of those, even that affect us in how we handle our road right-of-ways. The townships will continue to support the statewide wetland banking program that we have, that we work with Bowser on, that right now you've had to literally fund it through bonding each year. And we had an agreement back when we did the wetlands bill that the state would pick up the tab for the wetland mitigation for the cities, counties, and townships. And that's worked very well, but we came pretty short and actually ran out of money one year. And so please consider that. And you might even consider, as you can make recommendations to other committees, that that wetland mitigation program become a budget item within Bowser rather than coming back here for annual appropriations to meet that. It's about, this past couple of years, it's been about $4 million that's been directed into the wetland mitigation program. We continue to support efforts to enhance the public safety, including improved signage. Jonas mentioned a program that we were able to get some federal dollars and actually a line item in the safety program that was initially listed as Minnesota Township Road Replacement Program. It's the only one in the nation that's listed in that multi-year bill, and it really is an idea that we've had. I've been working on it since 1993 to try to get it regenerated. We were given an award, and I have old document on the back of the handout that I gave you for the committee that shows back in 1989 and 90 when we did the original program, we put up about 150,000 hazard signs in the state on township roads and at a cost of about $15 million. Well, you know as well as I what the cost is today and what we're looking at. I have about $3 million or a little bit under, as Rick mentioned, for a new hazard sign program, which we're doing six pilot counties. The entire state program, we're talking probably in the neighborhood of $25 to $30 million. In the past several years, both the House and the Senate have kindly worked through committees and helped to put some money into that, but it never made it out. It got into finance last year, was dropped at the last minute. There was $1.5 million in there. And I can tell you that the townships that are involved in the signage program right now in those pilot counties, some of those counties, the townships do very well. We've got a couple of the counties, one in particular that's one of the two poorest counties in the state, and the townships themselves have a hard time coming up with dollars. If you take a look back into some of the more money issues on some of the forms that I've got in there, they on page 6, or at the bottom of the page 6, it says, township levies between 2000 and 2006. The metro area, we've gone from about $12 million to $21 million. Non-metro, we went from $86 million to $168 million. This all happens at the same time that we were removed from the HACA payments, about $29 million plus. We lost about $4 million, a little under $4 million in local government aid. We get no dollars from the state. And you can see part of the result, and as the engineer cited, the cost of our materials, whether it's gravel for our gravel roads or the paving, that increase, this is a microcosm of what the counties and the cities have to deal with, but we, you can see we've doubled the amount of money over those years spent on the roads. I show the in those what we take in revenue, and our expenditures for our roads are listed at, on page 11 over the years, but the amount has gone up by enormous amount just since 2000 because of the lack of assistance in our funding. But these are what we spend for road and bridge improvements on that system. We do a very efficient job of it. I don't think anybody questions the nature of township government and people only spending what they need to spend. And we would appreciate your assistance. We do need some help there with that federal program. We think it's going to be a model for not only our state, but for other states around the country, if we're able to get it accomplished. We were able to do that back in the late 80s, and we're given a national award for it here in Minnesota, and we're trying to do it again, and we need some assistance to do that. Rick mentioned the roads of regional significance, and I just wanted to touch on it again. I passed around a separate sheet, which I just kind of pulled apart. You mentioned all the programs, but just for the townships, this is a list of the 14 projects that were submitted. Four were funded. The 14 projects were $3.2 million. I think the legislature thinks this program was good. They put more money into it last year than they did the year before when we started it. And much like the bridge program, here are projects that were ready to go. And we can sit down with the cities and counties and towns and give you a list of projects, and hopefully you can assist us in trying to get them funded. There's a real need out there, and the townships and our other communities around the state have big responsibility to try to get the traveling public safely through. And even our sign program, we say it more often than not, it's really not for the people in the township. It's the people that are coming through the township. It's the tourists, people that don't know where the curve is down before you run into the lake, to get up the hazard signs and to make it beneficial. So we would stand for questions, and if you have any concerns or issues, we need your help and support. Appreciate it very much.
Mr. Fricke, on this roots of regional significance, you say the top four were funded and the bottom eight weren't. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Sola?
If I may, I worked quite a bit on that program when it was first being established and trying to get the funding. And I just want to point out that, you know, while we're very happy that there were the 14 applications this year, that may not sound like a large number to some of you out of nearly 1,800 townships, but it's important to remember that it's a relatively new program. It's actually only been funded for the past 2 years, and at relatively low amounts compared to the need. And so as this program, more townships are aware of it, and the application process is made clearer to the townships, you will see even more and more requests. But it is a program that we compete with all the other entities of government, the counties and the cities as well. And so we are working with the ag groups right now to try to explore a township equivalent to the roads of regional significance, kind of a farm-to-market type approach that we don't have a proposal quite ready to bring forward to the committee, but it's one that would create a little additional dedicated funding for the truly smaller small roads that sometimes get lost when you look at the expense of a county system under a comparative program like this one.
Mr. Solomon, I'd just like to ask a question. On the first line, I don't know, that's number three, that's not Township 3, but for 2 miles, the first cost in 2006 is $550,000, and then 07 is $412,000 for a township road. Is that correct? $1 million for 2 miles?
Mr. Chair, I don't know that specific project, but with what they're talking about, with actually doing complete new ditch work, I'm sorry, you're on number three?
Yeah.
Complete reconstruction, yeah, that wouldn't be surprising at all with the cost that we're hearing from our members at this point.
I'm just kind of curious, how come that road isn't on the, how come that road's on a township system? You had a $500,000 mile road on a township system? Is that getting to be common? You think they're changing?
Mr. Jonas, but I believe that's up in the recreational area. It's a tourist area, and it's a heavily traveled township or joint township road.
Is that in a non-organized township, or is that? I don't know where.
Well, it's an organized. There's several townships up in the Brainerd area that are organized. They're just not. This particular road is not next to a city.
Well, if we're looking at those kind of costs, we're really short of money. If that's typical, not typical, but I see what you have here.
That is an ever-increasing problem.
Yeah. Is there any questions from the committee members?
Mr. Chair, I just might mention, you know, if we make all the roads in the state 10-ton, we have a few that would not qualify.
I can see.
And we'd have to post them all.
Mr. Chair, if I may also just to get, for some of you that are not as familiar with the township system, a number of our roads are literally what you would find as the old horse trails. They've been roads for over 100 years. There's a lot of issues with title concerns and actual widths of the right-of-way that when you start getting the major reconstructions make the process a little more complex than some of the reconstructions of a newer right-of-way that many cities and counties will encounter. It's just a different set of facts that we have to deal with. There also is a situation where counties have the authority to revert roads that are no longer needed within the county system down to the township. Now, they are required, if they play by the rules, to bring that road up to proper grade, so they're not giving us just a really bad-shaped road. But it is a process by which when there is a new county road constructed and perhaps they don't need that old one any longer, they can revert it down to the township. And the vacation process for us, particularly if it abuts or is adjacent to any public bodies of water, it's not as easy as just saying, well, we'll vacate the road and be done with it. So we can pick up additional lane miles, and that this might be one of those where it's worked its way through the process over time.
Mr. Solem, these roads that you have here now, apparently the traffic counts up, or there's some other reason that they're that fairly high priced. But are you building to some design standard using county state aid or county standards, or how do you determine if you're going to come up with a list like this? I see you've got routes of regional significance. Are you establishing a statewide routes of regional significance? Basically, that would be, well, the state's got them and the county's got them, and you're actually coming down in a functional classification like arterials, minor arterials, and collectors, and minor collectors. You'd be down in a minor collector for this, basically, or what?
Well, Mr. Chair, the Roots Regional Significance Program is a competitive process for that has a list of statutory criteria, and perhaps Mr. Jonas could give a better overview.
Statutory? Is that minimum?
The statutory process, and then there's some internal rules, and I think Mr. Jonas can give a better overview.
Mr. Jonas, when you say statutory, is that 24 foot on a township road? That's more than that, but this cost, isn't it? Or not?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It probably, the standards may be very equivalent to a county state aid highway for those types of projects.
Yeah.
The route to regional significance programs are available to all local units of governments, and the guidance we've been given is to give consideration to township and city and county roads and county state roads in our selection of the projects. And the broad definition of regional significance, which has economic overtones and tourism overtones and secondary truck route overtones, as applied to those various jurisdictions. As far as functional class local roads, they are certainly eligible. But what benefit to the public that the local unit is not able to meet right now? Some letter of support indicating, in the case of townships, we were looking for agribition, maybe some feedlot or an ethanol plant, or if it was heavy use of tourism or something where there was a road that was above and beyond their capacity to build with their normal funding, and some letters of support from some non-traditional transportation partners that were submitted with the applications.
But then if you've got the higher traffic counts, we ask them to build the standards appropriate for the traffic counts and not necessarily to what they maybe ordinarily build as a township road. So, yeah, feedlots.
That's good. I'm aware of all of this happening. That's why I was kind of curious. But if you're establishing that, are you establishing, is there a certain amount of mileage in the state that's established on this, or is that just coming up as it goes?
Mr. Chairman, no system has been identified yet. This whole program is in its second year of development, and we've been only able to fund a few programs, so we're still evolving of where this program could really go.
In other words, we're looking at a heck of a lot more money than we even think. I mean, that when we're talking township stuff. Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Mr. Jonas, I'm glad you came back. Another question about costs. These are good questions, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad to hear that the legislature actually put together a good program to help townships out with roads that serve more than just the farm down the street. But we're talking about construction costs and the huge inflation factor we've had over the last few years, particularly for those that involve lots amount of oil or energy. What are we seeing in the last couple months with asphalt, steel, and concrete? Pricing on those. Can you speak to that at all?
Mr. Jonas?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, no, I don't feel qualified to speak about what the construction costs of the last few months have been.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Would there be anybody in the audience? How about Mr. Isaacson? Probably got a shot at that.
That'll teach him to show up at our hearing, won't it?
Mr. Isaacson, can you...
Thank you. The numbers we're hearing for at least bituminous, which is what we've been working on in our office for the last week, is numbers relatively stable to last year.
Okay.
And if you remember right, numbers last year were somewhere around 40% higher than the year before. I haven't heard anything specifically about steel. As far as equipment goes, we're hearing about maybe a 7% increase for the price of equipment, which the type of equipment we're talking, motor graders, trucks, there's a lot of steel involved with it. Concrete, the only thing I've heard about concrete is that there was a supply issue with concrete that has been stabilized this year, so hopefully the prices won't go up higher than they were last year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fraker, Mr. Solem, we've got the wrong people up again. We haven't got township people up here.
Just two final comments I'd like to make. One is that the townships work very closely with the county engineers, and we've got a great working relationship, I think, and we thank them for all of the efforts that they put in, because they're responsible for inspecting our bridges. They help us with coordination, and they're helping even in the six pilot projects on our sign program. They're helping coordinate that with all of the towns in those counties. And so that's an ongoing relationship that we've built over the years, and so I wanted to particularly mention that. When I look back at, you had the question on one of the projects that wasn't funding, it was in Catheo Township, and for those that don't know, Catheo's the Indian up in the Indian Reservation, Mille Lacs, and they've been doing sewer and water project up there, as well as road work. And in fact, as a kind of a little lighter note on the side, the Catheo Town Hall that you see when you drive up the highway there to the casino or past it and go fishing is on state property. So they found out, and now the Catheo Township Hall is soon to be gone. So they're going to get a new one, just because that building's been there forever, but for some reason the state says it's on their property. So interesting, to say the least. So.
Just a couple of other closing points. And I know you'll hear more about the whole 60-40 split and everything. Our membership definitely supports the 60-40 division for roads and transit. Our board will be looking at some of the rural transit issue, which is more directly associated with the city provisions, but has trickled down to us. But as we look at all the distribution formulas, as Mr. Fricke indicated, our only regular source of state assistance is our gas tax, the 5% set aside that comes down through our town road and bridge account. And so we will definitely be looking to make sure that we are kept at least at that 5% threshold Ideally, we'd love to see an increase, but we know that that's probably not feasible with everybody else's needs, but we certainly want to make sure that we are kept at least at that 5%, because it is our only current form of state assistance. There is no LGA, there are no HACA payments or any other regular source that come down to us. So, two other quick things that are just side issues, but trying to get efficiencies into the process. Representative Beard heard this yesterday. We will be trying to pursue efforts to allow us to use design-build contracts, and that hopefully would result in some cost savings for some of these road projects. And to end on a little bit of a humorous note, we will be seeking funding for beaver control programs. For those of you in the metro or southern part, maybe that doesn't sound like a big issue, but to anybody in the northern part of the state that has ever seen what beavers can do to the road infrastructure with the flooding of the ditches and the erosion problems that they face, if we can get a little bit of beaver control, we might not need as many road repairs. So with that, just end up a little humor.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, Mrs. Will, I'm going to step on the beaver last line. I'd just like to turn back to your page 4 concerning 10-ton roads. I know we'll be hearing from other groups about 10-ton roads, and I'm looking at the last line of that section, reading from the part, is concerned that simply stating that all roads default to a 10-ton weight. I'm wondering if, from your organization's perspective, whether distinguishing roads between gravel and paved roads is significant. For example, do you have a position on all paved roads defaulting to a 10-ton standard?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we did a very unscientific, informal survey at our annual conference in November when there were some discussions about a 10-ton mandate for all roads coming down. And our membership basically took the position that they would oppose, that the majority took the position of opposing 10-ton, but if there were to be a development of a process starting off with on the paved system, could be sold in the right context if it was strictly on the paved roads, because at least there you have had a little more engineering involved. There has been some upgrade as opposed to the traditional old gravel road that it's been there literally for hundreds, over 100 years, and there never was any engineering in the first place.
Great. Thank you very much.
Representative Keeley.
I'll be quick, Mr. Chair. Just, Mr. Solon, I'm not accepting the per diem pay raise, and I'm just, as I'm looking forward to the to my annual meeting, a pocket gopher is still $2, roughly.
Mr. Chair, gopher bounties vary dramatically from region to region, anywhere from about 50 cents to as high as $5, but the $5 ones usually require the tail as well as the feet.
Okay, I'll stick to my $2 and get as many as I can. Thank you, Mr. Sloan.
Representative Kalen, you can save the state some money to trap evils. There was some money this year. Do you want to put any money in?
Mr. Chair, I thought we heard from Mr. Sloan that they want to control the beavers in a different way this year.
Any further questions?
Appreciate the time of the committee.
Thank you. Did you want to, did Mr. Banasik? Okay. He's leaving. Our next testifier is from the Association of Minnesota Counties, Ms. Lovewell. Welcome to the committee. I believe, members, you realize you have a lot of these handouts in your packet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, my name is Carol Lovewell, and I'm the Transportation Policy Analyst for the Association of Minnesota Counties. And we appreciate the opportunity to tell the county's story as it relates to our transportation infrastructure and why all 87 counties have ratified and support the long-term transportation funding package that AMC introduced in 2005 and was very similar to the transportation funding bill Representative Earhart's amendment that passed both bodies of the legislature but was vetoed by Governor Pawlenty. Passage of such a bill as this is critical to the preservation and maintenance of our local road systems. No one understands our needs better than Chair Leader. For those of you that may not know, Representative Leader is past chair of the county and past president of the County Engineers Association and also past president of the National County Association. So He's very familiar as a past county engineer. And you've met Greg Isaacson, past president of the county engineers, but Don Tyson was out of the room. Don, why don't you stay up, because the committee will see you during the year as we depend on their technical expertise. Counties have two bridge systems, two road systems, a bridge system and a transit system that they are responsible for. County bridges are critical components of the overall transportation system. They provide access to markets for agricultural products, manufacturing products, and the multitude of services that link the economy together. Counties are responsible for 40% of the 19,205 bridges in this state. Approximately 5,500 bridges are on the county state aid highway system, and approximately 2,000 are on the county road system. Approximately 15% of all county bridges in the state are either structurally or functionally deficient. A long-established bridge program, as you've heard Rick Jonas testify to, he has oversight under that program, and he assures you legislators that the projects that counties submit to the Office of State Aid by resolution will be built as soon as the funding becomes available. Local units of government submit these resolutions to this office for every bridge project when it's ready for replacement or rehabilitation, committing that project will be done. Larger and heavier trucks and farm equipment are making it necessary to replace or rehabilitate these bridges at earlier dates than would otherwise be necessary. Last session, counties submitted resolutions totaling over $100 million for fiscal year 2006. The bonding bill that was passed last session provided only $52.5 million for the program. While counties were very grateful for the funding, that funding was all spent within weeks of being appropriated. And it was the largest amount of funding that the program has received from a bonding bill. But there is still $46 million in projects still sitting and waiting for funding from 2006. And as you heard Rick Jonas testify, 8 more have been added, and they're added at a daily and weekly rate. If no funding is made available, either through general obligation bonding or surplus dollars, there will be no bridge rehabilitation program this coming construction season, and those contractors will go elsewhere for work and it will be difficult to get the program back up and running again during the 2006 construction season. So we hope that this committee will support funding for this critical program. Counties are also instrumental in helping to fund transit systems, whether it be light rail and commuter rail systems in the metro and growing areas of the state, or the smaller transit systems that operate in 66 of the greater Minnesota counties. Increased funding is desperately needed to meet growing demand. Of the 66 greater Minnesota systems, 47 of them have petitioned MnDOT for funding for expanded service. Since the MnDOT Office of Transit's budget has remained relatively flat in the last few bienniums, counties have had to shoulder a larger burden if they want the systems to remain viable. In the metro area, Hiawatha has shown that citizens are hungry for options other than driving a car. Build it and they will come. Not only will it reduce congestion, but it saves energy and reduces pollution. Important issues in this time of concern for greater energy efficiency. The two road systems the counties are responsible for, the county road system and the county state aid highway system, comprise 45,000 miles of roadway. The county road system comprises approximately 15,000 miles of road and funded locally by county property taxes. The county state aid highway system comprises 30,000 miles and provides an interconnected arterial system that feeds into the trunk highway system. The system serves as an arterial system of interconnected highways between counties that not only move people longer distances, but serve freight haulers and ag producers and feed into the state trunk highway system. In the past, county state aid systems were funded mainly by the Highway Users Tax Distribution Fund. But counties have now grown more dependent on the local property tax revenues in order to meet growing demands. Counties receive 29% of the revenue from the gas tax, registration fees, and now the motor vehicle sales tax. The problem, unlike the state trunk highway system, counties have not received any significant increase in revenues since the last gas tax was passed in 1988. The state trunk highway system, on the other hand, received $400 million in surplus dollars during the last time of budget surpluses and has received significant infusions of trunk highway bonding authority during the last several bienniums. And again, in the governor's new budget proposal, the vast majority of transportation spending is directed to the 12,000 miles of trunk highway system that comprise only 9% of the total road miles in the state of Minnesota. The only glimmer of hope in the governor's proposal for local units of government is his proposal to direct the sales tax on leased vehicles into the Highway Trust Fund. If the proposal is successful and the funds are apportioned 60% for highways and 40% for transit, the Highway Trust Fund would receive 60% or $42.2 million of $67 million during the 08-09 biennium and 60% or $54 million of $90 million in the 2010-2011 biennium. Counties would receive 29% of this revenue. That means 87 counties would divide a little over $11 million during the first biennium and a little over $15 million in the second biennium. Even though it isn't divided equally, there is a CASA formula fund that divides the money. It just gives you a rough estimate of the insignificant amount of money that would be provided. When you figure one signalized intersection costs $250,000 and a 4-inch overlay on a county state aid highway is about $150,000, this governor is starving the local road systems and the local property tax dollar is picking up the tab. And then he wants to impose levy limits if you receive a third or more of the general fund because he thinks counties are spending foolishly. While the passage of the constitutional amendment was welcome new revenue, it is phased in over 5 years and counties only receive 29% of the 60% of MVEST if that's what the legislature deems by the end of this session. And again, when spread between 87 counties, it's a small amount of revenue and barely keeps us whole from the inflationary costs you've heard mentioned the counties have experienced over the last couple years. We're falling further and further behind in the preservation of our road systems, estimated to probably now be about $300 million annually in just preservation alone. This is no room for expansion, no major new roads. This is just preservation. This is why more of the property tax dollar is needed to fund the higher volume county state aid highway system. And then our poor local county road system that is supposed to be funded by property tax dollars is left to deteriorate even further. There is much talk this session about trying to find a way of reducing the property tax burden, so public expectations will be high. One of the options the legislature has is to pass a long-term funding package that would take the burden and pressure off the property tax. The gas tax, tab fees, and MVEST is a true user fee pay-as-you-go method of funding the state's road systems. Sales tax authority for counties would provide the necessary revenue to accelerate the development of transit corridors and the mega projects that are delayed for lack of revenue. Why should the burden of funding a regional transportation system regressively fall to the property tax? What counties struggled with is why transportation funding is so political. This is one of the constitutional obligations of the state to provide an adequate infrastructure to all citizens. By infusing needed revenue into our transportation infrastructure, every citizen you serve will benefit. Even a citizen that does not drive still needs access and depends on police protection, fire protection, and ambulance service and service delivery. Kids need to get to school, businesses need to move their products, and not waste time sitting in congestion resulting in lost profits. Energy is a growing industry in Minnesota. How are haulers going to get their raw materials into these facilities and get their products out on township roads that are still gravel? Our whole economic well-being as a society depends on an efficient transportation infrastructure. It becomes a quality of life issue for those of us that get stuck in traffic and not spend that time with our families. Citizens are not paying what they did in 88 for anything else they purchase. And why should they expect not to pay more to get where they need to go in a timely manner? You get what you pay for, and unfortunately we are seeing the results of the underinvestment in our transportation system. Delayed projects, more congestion, a demand from shippers for higher tonnage roads, demand from growing areas asking when they're going to get their rail systems, demand from areas of the state that are seeing an ever-increasing older population that cannot drive and need help getting where they need to go. Counties continue to deliver less for more. Counties keep stepping up to the plate and are expected to pay more to serve a much wider constituency than just their own, whether it be to help MnDOT projects proceed or pay more for more transit services. But just remember that in most cases it is the property tax dollars that are footing that bill. For all the above reasons, AMC will again be introducing a long-term transportation funding package that includes a 10-cent gas tax phased in over 2 years, indexing in the third year, a tab fee adjustment, authority for counties to impose a 0.5% increase in the state sales tax for transportation purposes, authority for all counties to impose up to a $20 wheelage fee, the authority for counties to impose a transportation impact fee, $50 million for the local bridge program and $50 million for the local road improvement program, and we hope that you'll be supportive. We look forward to working with you on this issue, and thank you for the opportunity to visit with you about our transportation needs, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know time is getting short, and my city engineer is here and is with the League of Minnesota Cities. And I know I have a ton of questions for Ms. Lovro. I wonder if we could have the League of Minnesota Cities present and then do questions for both the counties and the city.
Ms. Lovro,
I just want to make sure we have time. I'll be here.
You say the city engineer is here, Representative Hartman?
Right. From Brooklyn Park.
Brooklyn Park. Okay, I guess we do it. See, I think actually, Ms. Finn, correct? You were part of the next presentation. We didn't. Ms. Loverell, I think, was completed. We kind of shot her, this gentleman, ahead of. Maybe we should just check. Ms. Loverell, did you?
They're together.
They're together?
And Finn and Gary Brown.
League of Cities and the county? Okay.
Mr. Chairman and members, good afternoon. My name is Ann Finn. I'm a lobbyist with the League of Minnesota Cities. And with me today, as Representative Portman mentioned, is Gary Brown. He's the Director of Engineering and Building Inspections for the City of Brooklyn Center. He also, I used to work in Brooklyn Center, and so I hated when people did that, so my apologies. Anyway, I would like to just make a couple of very brief introductory comments, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Brown, who is much better on these issues than I am. For those of you who are not familiar with the League of Minnesota Cities, I should just start by telling you that we are a statewide association. We represent 831 of Minnesota's 854 cities. Our largest non-member city is about 120 in population. So we do represent all cities statewide. We also, in addition to our advocacy, provide research and analysis, training and education, as well as insurance coverage and other products and services for cities. I'll talk just briefly about the city role in Minnesota's transportation system. 4.2 of 5.2 million, or about 80% of Minnesotans, live in municipalities. So I may be stating the obvious here, but whether from a residence or business, every trip begins locally. That said, local roads are essential to public safety, economic development, and quality of life in all Minnesota cities and for all Minnesotans. Local roads are also essential to functional transit systems. We are hearing more frequently from our mayors and other city officials that transportation is a very critical issue. And as this session progresses, I will be sure to invite some of our locally elected officials to come down and speak with you either in your offices or before this committee. What does the municipal street system look like and how is it funded? First, you've heard a lot about the municipal state aid system, and that, as you heard, is constitutionally dedicated through the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. It's distributed, and this is critical, I hope that you'll remember this this fact. It's distributed to cities over 5,000 in population. That makes up 136 of the 854 cities that I told you about. And as Mr. Jonas told you earlier, that 136 number is growing. So as our cities grow in population, more cities are competing for the municipal state aid funds. And those cities that do get municipal state aid can use that those dollars for up to only 20% of their road systems. So the other streets, the other 80% in those cities over 5,000 are not municipal state aid streets. And the streets, by and large, in cities under 5,000 population are not municipal state aid streets. Municipal state aid money is also spent oftentimes to offset local cost participation with county and state aid projects. And so while cities sometimes are waiting for those dollars to come so they can do their municipal state aid projects, those dollars, as Mr. Brown will tell you, often get placed instead into the cost participation with other projects, with other jurisdictions. The non-municipal state aid streets represent the bulk, then, of lane miles in cities. 16,000 of the 19,000 centerline miles in cities are non-municipal state aid. They are funded primarily with property taxes and special assessments. I want to stress to you today that this part of our system is aging, along with the trunk highways and state aid systems. Cities of all sizes are desperately looking for new funding tools to help with maintenance and reconstruction, particularly of the non-municipal state aid streets. The points I hope you'll take away today. The vast majority of city streets are funded with property taxes and special assessments. I know I said that once, but I have to say that one more time. We hope to see the legislature pass and the governor sign a comprehensive transportation funding package in 2007. We ask that you include with any comprehensive funding package a funding tool for cities, particularly for those streets that are not part of the state aid system. And finally, I want to extend to you the fact that city officials are prepared to work with other transportation stakeholders in 2007 toward addressing the state's transportation challenges. And one last point I want to make is that we will hope to be invited back later in the session when the city and county engineers release an update of a report that we came out with a few years ago, and that dealt with, it was a comprehensive look at funding street construction and maintenance in cities. This year, we're joining with the counties to update that document, and we'll look for a chance to come back to you and brief the committee on those new numbers as they come out. So with that, Mr. Chair and members, thank you so much for having us today, and I would yield to Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Ms. Finn. I just need to apologize to Ms. Loverell. She's here. I assumed you were part of her thing, and I just didn't want to cut her off.
She's going to.
We didn't really get any questions, and we adjourned at 5:30, so I didn't want to cut anything off. The one question I was going to ask you, or Mr. Jonas, were the counties, have they been using their bond program? Stay there, Ms. Finn. I just want to, they can answer later. Were the counties, many of the counties of the 86, are they using their bonding? Are they a lot of bond obligations? We haven't heard that. I forgot to ask.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for asking that question. In fact, I have a county engineer that's here, and he said every year now they're bonding $2.5 to $2 million, and their bonding and local participation has outpaced the money they receive from their county state aid highway funds. So more and more counties are having to bond, but those principal and interest is all property tax.
Okay, thank you. Just for the members of the committee, when we speak of bonding, they can bond for county state aid highways up to the amount of 2 years of their normal county state aid construction allotment. Is that correct, Mr. Jonas? So if you had $1 million construction allotment 1 year, for 2 years you got $2 million, the county can bond for $2 million, and that's what they do, and we pay it out of their future funds. So I think the counties might be utilizing that quite a bit. I just wanted to make certain we got that in. Is that correct, Mr. Jonas?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you are correct, and that is a tool that is used, but it is rapidly being replaced by just bonds against the property tax. LeSueur County here, maybe give you a quick example of what just recently happened in their county. Those are not state aid bonds, they're property tax bonds.
Okay, that makes it worse. And I just wanted to bring that out. I appreciate we're cutting into Mr. Brown's time. And I think Mr. Brown, is that correct?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Chairman.
But I appreciate those comments. I just wanted to get them in. Mr. Brown, welcome to the committee.
Our story is very similar, Mr. Chairman. The city of Brooklyn Park is a city of 73,000 people. It has approximately 280 miles of streets, of which the old 20% rule, 56 miles, have been designated as state aid routes. That means that 80% or 224 miles is funded by assessments in the general fund for repair, reconstruction, and maintenance. Our annual state aid allotment is $1,645,000 roughly, which the city receives through the apportionment of the highway user tax distribution. 50% of that money is based on the population. 50% is based on needs. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. The MVET, as an example, since it's passed in the fifth year, will give us another $40,000. So you can see the significance of that as it relates to our annual allotment. 25% of this amount, or $465,000, goes to our operation and maintenance department to maintain those roads with overlays, seal coating, crack filling, curb and gutter repair, and storm sewer repair. Over the last 10 years, the city has gone further and further in debt with the state aid because our needs and spending have outdistanced the amount of money available to state aid improvements. State aid currently owes the city of Brooklyn Park $4,845,000 for projects we have already constructed. Our projected state aid allotment for construction for 2007 is $1,178,000. That means the city will have no state aid projects for the next 4 years. This is not uncommon. As I share this information with other city engineers, this is very, very common throughout the metropolitan area. If we need to do a major project during this time, we'll need to ask our taxpayers to come up with the funds. We have already sold bonds to be repaid, like the counties, and that was being explained to you. We already sold bonds, $2.5 million last year, just to give me enough money to do some overlay work this coming year. When two county roads intersect in a city within Hennepin County, as an example, the city where this intersection is located is required to pay 50% of the cost. The $250,000, which was previously mentioned, the city of Brooklyn Park would be asked to pay for half of that, even though it's not any of our jurisdiction. We do not get any of these monies, at least for these expenditures. It's not in our needs because it's an off-system expenditure. So we don't get reimbursed for any of that through the stated account. They are considered, as I said, off-system. The city received $594,000 grant from a cooperative agreement through the State Cooperative Agreement Fund. The construction of a third lane for southbound 252. If you listen to CCO like I do in the mornings, unfortunately, it's mentioned quite a bit. From Goodale Drive to 73rd Avenue within the city of Brooklyn Park. The city has had to add additional $155,000 to this project, which we expect to be bid out this coming spring, with taxpayer dollars, even though the jurisdiction responsible for this work is the state of Minnesota. The taxpayers of Brooklyn Park are being asked to use their monies to construct a third lane on 252 to enable our own residents to access the highway in the mornings to get to work. What I mean by that is the roadway is completely filled with the residents trying to go southbound on 252 as they go under 694. It backs up that far, and they can't get onto the highway. So what they do is they cross Trunk Highway 252, do a U-turn so they can make a right turn when the light turns green down south of them. This past year, we completely eliminated from our five-year CIP a badly needed new bridge on 73rd Avenue from County Road 81 to Boone Avenue that would serve our industrial park so that the trucks serving these industries would no longer have to drive through residential areas. There is no sense to have it in our five-year plan when there are no funds available to build it. In 1989, the first year, and that kind of refers to you to the graph that I passed out to you. In 1989, the first year after the gas tax, the dollars from state aid given for $1 million in adjusted needs was nearly $65. In 2007, that number has dropped to $15.15 per $1,000 in needs. That equates to a 77% drop since 1989. During that same time period, the roadway cost index, which MnDOT uses for the cost related to building streets and highways, has risen from 97.9 in 1989 to 204.11 in 2006, or 108% increase in that same time period. As a result, we are trying to maintain our transportation system with one-third of the resources we had 17 years ago, the last time the gas tax was increased. In the better roads or one of the national magazines, they said the last 3 years, one of the representatives was asking how much the inflation has been. It's been 36% for steel, concrete, asphalt, and fuel. And that's what we're trying to deal with. I've already indicated that in sharing this with some of my peers, they said all you'd have to do is change the name of their streets and the county roads, and it would be the same message that you will hear from many of them. And I would stand for any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This particular graph is yours?
Yes.
And the other one I would have had was from Pat Dalton, and these numbers too. I'm wondering if we looked at this regionally, that construction cost number, how significant would that vary?
The county would agree with me that that's the same issue. It's an issue that's uniform throughout. That basically that cost index is for roads built in Minnesota and the upper Midwest.
Representative Nelson. I see that one of my favorite projects, Devil's Triangle, is not even mentioned here, and that's, we all know that's been pushed off. But I guess the question I have here with this cost factor, design build is being pushed by a lot of people. Would that bring the cost down significantly by being able to move these projects faster, or is that, would
I'd,
have
I'd
any
like
effect
to answer
better?
That, but I don't have any money to spend on projects. I really do believe that there's some real advantages of that. Most of the time, though, the city engineers, frankly, really know their community, and the design build really depends upon a consultant working with a contractor. And so I'm not so sure that would be really a huge advantage for us from design build. There are some other measures that you folks could consider that help lower the cost.
Representative Horton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for letting us delay questions for Ms. Lovro to get my city engineer here. He's been working overtime as we have to try to preserve the funding for that Devil's Triangle project where people die in my district. It's one of the most dangerous intersections in the state and shouldn't have been delayed and wouldn't have been delayed if the governor would have signed the bill in 2005. But I have a question for Ms. Lovro. On the gas tax chart in your materials, the gas tax versus unmet needs, I just want to make sure I understand that. I love bar graphs because they usually quickly convey a lot of information. And I'm wondering if you can just explain that and if this isn't the right day and time to have you explain it. I can meet with you separately on that.
And we do have an appointment coming up. But, Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, what this shows is that the total needs are estimated to be $1 billion a year. A gas tax, even a 10-cent gas tax, only raises a little over $300 million. And then you have your local transit tax, and the revenue gap is what's important. The revenue gap still, with a 10-cent gas tax, we still have over a $400 million gap that needs to be made up in other revenue, whether it be, doing something with tab fees. MBEST can make part of that up, but that still wouldn't get us where we need to go.
Just a follow-up. When we passed the transportation bill in 2005, and the governor's comment was that the legislature was getting a little piggy with a 10-cent gas tax. When I look at this and I see the proportion of the need that's met by 10 cents, it's not half the enchilada, it's not three-quarters of the enchilada, it's not the whole enchilada. It's just a tiny little part. Sorry, it's almost that time. But my point is, I guess I need to bring enchiladas to the next study. My point, Mr. Chair and Ms. Lovro, is that a 10-cent gas tax increase meets one-fifth of the annual unmet need. Is that what I'm saying?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, that would be pretty close. The other thing, now that I have an opportunity, with the passage of MVEST, even the $300 million, you know, I think the perception is, well, we've raised money, you know, we've done our job, we don't need more. $300 million, if you figure Crosstown is about a $256 million project, you can see how far those revenues stretch.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not interested in a fifth of the enchilada. I think we should look at how to fund at least half of it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Leverett. Any questions for Mr. Brown? Appreciate the comment, and we've got your things for the record. The next committee meeting is, we changed our schedule for next, not changed it totally, but we're having an overview from the Met Council for next Thursday. We actually moved the MnDOT portion till next week because the Met Council wants to come in. They can't come in the next time. They want to review the budget, proposed governor's budget. So we'll be doing that this coming Thursday. And Representative Hornstein has a committee meeting tomorrow with the seatbelt, right?
Yep. 215 Transit and Transportation Policy Subcommittee.
Right. No further questions. Well, the meeting. Oh, Representative Hausman?
Mr. Chair, I'm hoping MnDOT is still working on that, how much we spend totally on roads in a biennium. And now that the governor's bill is out, I think it's helpful to understand why I thought it was so important to get that number. And that is, if the public reads in the paper, we're doing, is it $1.7 billion over a 10-year period?
That's in the bonds.
That sounds like a lot of money until you know how much we already spend every 2 years. So unless we always put new revenue into the context of what we actually spend, the public is not going to understand. And those expectations, I think, that we set up any time we put new revenue on the table are so.
We expect to have a lot of budget hearings, more so on this, and I kind of hate to piecemeal it because we should have some thorough ones. One thing I neglected to say was Pat Dalton put a note to me and reminded, and in the past session, this, when we talked about the League of Cities, these Ms. Finn and Mr. Brown represent cities over 5,000. The smaller cities participate in the County State Aid Highway Fund, but some, in a lot of cases, they have roads that are in a straight county road system. They don't get any money other than property tax, which we've been talking about. But they get, according to Ms. Dalton, and I should have remembered, $6 per capita for these small cities because they don't get any other state aid funds. It amounts to statewide about $3 to $4 million a year.
Correct, Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's correct. That's actually part of their local government aid payment, and that was enacted in 2005, and they began receiving that in 2006.
Is it for some of you that have been here before, we always hear the argument, when we're going to hear it again, and not argument, it's competition between townships, small cities, county roads, county state aid highways, when we get to that portion, besides the trunk highways and transit. So we've got a real problem trying to level that out. Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, just a reply to Representative Hausman. This is not easy stuff. It's very complicated. To get the public to understand it is a momentous task. And it's even a harder task to get the legislators to understand it. So, you know, to get the public, maybe. But you ought to get the people who are especially making the decisions to be able to understand it. Are there any Republicans left in the room besides me? I'm sorry. Well, you're going to know what's going on then, because you still listen to it.
I think Connie's been learning pretty well the last couple of years, right? Appreciate your comments. Do you have Representative Nelson?
I guess just a comment. It seems to me, listening to this, that we're squabbling over a small, everybody's squabbling over not enough money to do what the needs are there. I think that needs to be looked at.
That's right. So no further comments or questions. The meeting is adjourned.